This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this Saturday morning, this chilly Saturday morning, high school semifinal football Saturday morning, we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. And yeah, you might have heard there's a little bit of a football game today in Macoupin County.
You know, it's really amazing, Jim, that I had a basketball broadcast Tuesday night, went to the Lancer preview night last night, and the cumulative number of people that was talking about the football playoff game this weekend has just been absolutely amazing. It has enthralled the entire listening area. And, boy, there's going to be a terrific crowd there. I don't care how cold it is. There's going to be a huge crowd there. And this is a big game for the listening area, a big game for two local schools.
I have no idea what percentage of Macoupin County will be there today, but it will be a large chunk.
It's received a number of calls about the stream. I heard, got a call literally from Florida this morning at 6 o'clock this morning, which would have been 7 o'clock this gentleman's time. And was asking about the stream, so I walked him through that. So we are going to stream it online at WSMIRadio.com. So if you have family and friends outside the listening area, they can listen to it. It's Tim and Carl DeBar will have the call. So
live coverage at 1:30, kickoff at 2 this afternoon, FM 106, streaming at WSMIRadio.com for Carlinville and North Mac. And, of course, it was just 3 years ago when Staunton had their Cinderella run to the state championship game. They played their arch-rivals Gillespie in the quarterfinals, and we didn't think that we could really get a bigger game in Macoupin County football. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Well, this one has turned out to be exactly that. And a couple of weeks ago, we, you know, as broadcasters, we can speculate. What would it be like if this happened? You know, how big would this be? It's big. It, you know, this is an exciting moment in history as far as high school sports history in Macoupin County.
And there's nothing Cinderella about of this game today. I mean, these are two teams in Carlinville and North Mac that at the start of the year were picked to win their conferences. Yeah. Both 11-1 on the year. And they're, each of their losses were competitive games in the fourth quarter.
And if you had a chance to read Dave Kane's story in the State Journal Register this week about the connections between both schools, it was absolutely marvelous, and our good friend Dave Kane does such a great job, so we're ready to go, and let's play football.
Absolutely. We got Chad East today right now, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, on the phone joining us on Sports Saturday, as he does every week throughout the football season. Chad, good morning, sir. Were you able to sleep last night?
No, not at all. So
you're normal then.
Exactly. You know, you get a few hours in the chair, a few hours in bed, and then I got up this morning about 4, like I always do. So, you know, it's all good.
What was the vibe like at Carlinville High School this week?
You know, I think it's exciting. I think it's exciting for our community. You know, it's first time 25 years. It's just, you know, you kind of get that itching when you walk up and down the hallways, and, you know, it's just very exciting for our players, our parents. Somebody asked me how important it was to the group that we have. I said, highly important. I said, it's also great for my personal 9 years of people that came after or before these people did. They kind of kept the program going in the right direction. So.
And it's kind of strange the way that it works out, your opponent here being North Mac, and the ties. Of course, Don Borgini has ties to Verdon. Shane Owsley has ties to Carlinville. You can't make this stuff up.
No, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, it's really, I don't know what if it's odd or if it's just great. I think it is great. To be honest with you, you're not driving 3 hours to play somebody. The atmosphere will be just huge. In terms of whatever word you want to describe it, I can't describe it. But and then at the end of the day, to know that somebody from Macoupin County is going to the state title, win, lose, or draw, and it's just a great feeling for our community.
Chad, how did you try to make this a normal week, or did you try to make it a normal week?
No, you don't make this a normal week. I think you embrace this. I think it's an experience for a lifetime for kids, and I think it's important that they know it's a big stage, and so that you get that out early to them on Monday in preparation of, and then hopefully they can get that through their heads that 2 o'clock whistle blows and it's time to play football like it has been for the past 12 weeks. So, you know, I don't think you minimize this. I think you enjoy it, and something these kids will talk about for their lifetimes.
But by getting them to think that way early in the week, it does become normal by 5 days or 6 days later.
That's correct, Terry. I mean, that's been my approach. There's never, my approach always has been honesty. Honesty up front. And I told him one Monday, I said, you know, boys, I said, this is huge. I said, so we better start acting like it, like we should. And, you know, like Zach, like you said, by Wednesday, you know, that stage, we keep talking about it every week. It becomes your normal routine, I think. And there it is. So
did you bring in the legacy aspect of things and, you know, the legacy of Carlinville football and what this means to the history of the school and the history of the program?
Yeah, I think you do. But, you know, those, Terry, those are things we talk about on August 10th.
Yeah,
we're very, very fortunate. I am very fortunate to be coaching in an environment where that is the case every year. And the rich tradition at Carlinville is huge. And this year, it's just one of those that gets put on the list of very important years that I'm very happy to be part of and our kids are being part of. So in terms of that aspect or angle of things, I mean, we tell our kids that all the time. What stamp would you like to leave on Carlinville tradition? And, you know, this group has left a pretty big one. Regardless of the outcome today, I mean, obviously we would love a state title appearance, but you know, I don't want to minimize today the accomplishments that we've had throughout the season.
You know, one other comment. I bet your dad didn't sleep much last night either.
No, probably not. He called me at he called me. What time was it? 4 o'clock this morning. 4:30 this morning. He goes, asked me if I was up. You know, because you know it's not hard to remember way back when.
Yeah.
When somebody told me, you know, what's your goal? And my dad used to say, play a state title. And what's your goal? Play a state title. And he used to say that over and over. And we went through some rough years at Nicolman, both when I was a player and helping dad as a coach. And then he got it turned around and that sort of thing. And I've always been a big, big proponent of setting the bar high. I think kids will accomplish what you set in front of them. And then if they don't, they have to realize all the great accomplishments that they've accomplished trying to get to that goal. And I know that sounds kind of philosophical, so to speak, but I think there's a lot of truth to that statement.
Absolutely.
John, I remember at the start of the year you talked about the depth that you had this year on this club and how you didn't have to have a lot of guys go both ways on the side of the football, offensively and defensively. And I thought last week at Newton, that really came into play. You dominated that game on both sides.
You know, that's kind of been our mainstay all season. We've minimized the amount of kids that have to go both ways, and when you do that, you minimize their responsibilities mentally, and I think that they get hunkered down on their assignment, and they don't have to remember as much, and I think they become more aggressive, and they become more confident in their duties that are given to them that week via game plan, and I think that's helped us, like you said, all season.
Now, Chad, it's been a crazy week. It's been an exciting week. You've got a huge ball game, but have you had some fun this week preparing for this?
Absolutely. You know, I ran into somebody at Walmart the other day, and they were talking to me about stress levels and all that good stuff. And I said, well, first of all, I said, you don't know Dan Easterday very well because, I mean, you're just not allowed to have stress level at the Easterday house. I mean, we milk cows, and he was a teacher and a football coach. And, I mean, those you just didn't think about those things. You just accomplished the next thing on the list, and you kept right on moving down the road. And I got to talking with him, and I'm like, you know, I haven't had a lot of stress. There's a lot to do. I said, I'm not going to lie to you. There's been a ton of stuff to do this week. But our players, our coaches, and the community, we've enjoyed the ride. And hopefully we'll continue to enjoy that one more week. So, you know, and I hate to bring my ties up in the Comas all the time, but I can remember Steve Kimbrough, we got beat by Shelbyville in a sectional title game on a three-pointer in the corner. And before the game, he looked at me, he goes, we've been dancing with this girl all season. It's just on a little bit bigger stage today. Yeah. So, you know, I told that to my kids, and they didn't get it.
Okay.
You know, they didn't get it at all. But
in about 20 years, they will.
Yeah, about 20 years, they will. So, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, I just told them, I said, stay the course. I said, we do what we do. And, you know, Monday they were all hyped up, and they're mad at me because we're doing fundamental tackling on Mondays. I said, that's our Monday routine. I said, well, it's just no different this week than next week. So,
Chad, as you've looked at North Mac on film, what are some of the things that they do that you think maybe could give you some trouble?
Oh, I think they're very similar to Williamsville. I think they have a diverse offense, very similar to ours, that can give you many different looks on any snap of the ball. As a matter of fact, any different down. You could see them in a three-back set, a one-back set, an empty-back set. Obviously, Graham, in my personal opinion, I think he's their secret weapon that I don't think a lot of people account for. In their offense, I think he can hurt you on some second and threes and stuff like that. But, you know, they have a very good running game just like us and are able to spread the ball around.
Chad, we always appreciate your time on Saturday morning, sir. Best of luck today and good luck, sir.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And
9:17 on this Saturday morning. Now back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Carlinville North MAC 3A state semifinal today, 2 o'clock kick, live coverage 1:30 with the pregame here on FM 106, and we'll stream it as well at WSMIRadio.com.
Winner will get the winner of the Elmhurst IC Catholic at Monticello game. And Elmhurst Catholic, the top-ranked team in Class 3A all season long.
And they've been rolling people.
They've been rolling some people, and they were playing at Monticello this afternoon at 3 o'clock. There was one team that did make it to the state finals last night in Class 4A. Johnsburg defeated Chicago Phillips in overtime, 23-20. So they will take on the winner of the Canton at Rochester game, and it'll be the Rockets and Johnsburg probably. In Class 4. If I was a betting man, that's a bet I would make. So I would not bet against Rochester in 4A. So
what an exciting day for Macoupin County football, and we're glad to be joined now by the head coach of the North MAC Panthers, Shane Owsley. And, Coach, I'll ask you the first question I asked Chad East today. Did you sleep at all last night?
Not last night or any other day this week. So, we're excited that it's finally here, and at some point I'm going to have to crash, but hopefully it's under good circumstances tonight.
Shane, there was a great article in the State Journal Register this week by Dave Kane talking about the ties that you have to Carlinville. So I would imagine that's made this week a little more special and probably a little more stressful.
It's been a lot more stressful, actually. You know, it was something that, you know, we've kind of dreamed about here is to play Carlinville, and then, you know, for it to be under these circumstances is something probably more than we had even ever dreamed about. So, you know, like I told everybody else, it's going to be bittersweet for me. Obviously, I know the kids and the coaches on the other side there, and, you know, it's unfortunate one of us are going to have to go home after this game, but, like I said, I'm going to be proud of either program either way, and again, hopefully ours comes out on top.
When you took over from J.D. Lorton 2 years ago, I know that you've talked about it. Getting to the turf in Champaign was the ultimate goal.
It was, and that was a goal set forward by our kids. It wasn't, you know, just something that the coaches talked about or anything like that, and we made it very clear as a staff that if that was their ultimate goal, that there was going to be some things that needed to change, attitude, work ethic, those type of things, and they've been pretty steadfast, and that was at their goal, and they've worked, you know, extremely hard to get there from, you know, again, as I had mentioned before, the senior group was 3-6 as sophomores, as many of them played, so for the turnaround that they've been able to do and the work that they put in, it's nice to see them being rewarded for it today.
I think that now that you've got to this level of play here, there's really nothing new about the game today. You're not going to throw any dynamic changes in. There may be a little wrinkle here or there, but you just basically have to play Panther football.
Well, and that's kind of what we've told the kids, and we've talked about that year-long, and I think I probably struggled with this more this week than our kids have is, you know, it's not really important who's getting off the bus and who we're going to be playing today. It's making sure that we do what we do and what we're capable of doing. And I think if we're able to do that and we continue to come out and take care of the football and minimize penalties, then the results kind of take care of themselves.
Shane, talk to us a little bit about seniors and how they relate to the underclassmen on this team.
Well, I think obviously they can kind of speak loudly of some of the things that they've done, what they've been able to change. You know, like I said before, 3-6 and sophomores, and now they're going on. And, you know, right now they had a 10-win season last year and 11, 12 games, whatever it will be this year. You know, hard work can change a lot of things. So regardless of what may have happened in the past and, you know, whether it be JFL or JV, that, you know, it's very, very important to put in that work to get things and get the results that you want. So I think they've kind of shown what it's going to take to be successful, and we've had a very successful freshman program and JV program, and I think the kids have kind of bought in, and so far the results have kind of shown that.
So did they get any schoolwork done at all this week?
yeah, they did. That was something that we actually talked more about than just football. Obviously, you know, you don't ever want to get to a situation where you're playing in the state semifinals and we decide to take the week off of school and grades start slipping and everything like that. So we've been very fortunate. Grades have not been an issue for anybody on this team, and we definitely didn't want us to start this week.
Shane, your game last week, the win over Tolono Unity, in a lot of ways, that kind of sums up the North MAC program, does it not? You guys had the lead, you lost it, but then you battled back in a big way.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about these group of guys, but they just refuse to win anything comfortably. It's just a situation where I don't know if they enjoy close games or they like seeing my facial expressions as we do that, but I'm hoping that will be a positive thing for us this week and hopefully for another week to come, that when you get into those difficult games, you understand that obviously you have to play four quarters and the game's not going to be over until that, you know, the time runs out in that fourth quarter. So these kids feel like they can do, you know, just about anything regardless of score or the amount of time on the clock. So hopefully that will pay dividends for us.
Plus you beat Tolono Unity. That's one of those teams that has had the reputation for years statewide as being one of the premier programs. And now you've beaten them. You've stepped up to that level.
Well, I hope so. Obviously, we're not quite to that level yet. Obviously, the runs that they've had and the state championship runs that they've had, but it's a very good start. I mentioned that earlier. You know, that's one of the programs that you look at statewide that you kind of want to mimic and you want to get to their level. And obviously, it's impossible to compare yourself to them until you actually get to knock them off once. So, for last year's team and what happened to them there, and for us to come back a year later and get the opportunity to play them on our own field and come out successful was big for us. And it was big for that group last year. We had a lot of those players come back and watch that. And, you know, it was definitely a program win, just not a team win.
So, Coach, how many people are already at the ballpark?
Well, I'm sitting out here now, and you're not going to find any parking spots around the field. So they've started lining up on Monday. I think I saw the first one, and they continue to roll in. I got here about 6:30, 7 o'clock, and they were rolling in when I did. So I think it's going to be a great atmosphere, and it's definitely going to be packed.
Yeah. Well, Shane, the big challenge today will be try to do something that no one has really done all year, slow down Jacob Dixon.
Well, and you said the key word there is slow him down. Obviously, I'm not going to go in and tell my guys that we have to stop him because he's too good of an athlete to do that. We're hoping to limit him. I think he's very similar to the Franklin kid that we went against from Williamsville, and I think he went for like 120 and 130 yards on us. 70 of those were on one carry. So if we can do something similar to that, you know, I think we're going to be pretty successful. You know, our goal is to make somebody else on that team beat us, and hopefully our defense can get that done today.
Shane Owsley, we always appreciate your time on Saturday morning, sir. Best of luck today, man.
All right, thank you.
Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North MAC Panthers. And I'm ready. How about you?
Yeah, let's go.
Can we play now?
Can we play? Yeah. You know, and even as broadcasters, we get that, like, God, is the hour ever going to get here that we're going to get this thing started? The players, it's got to be worse for them. It's got to be worse for parents. You know, it's got to be driving parents crazy.
These kids aren't going to want to go home after this game's over today. Either side, yeah. Neither one.
Nobody's going to want to leave the field.
Yeah,
you're right.
They're just going to want to keep going.
Yeah.
Let's play 10 quarters.
Hey, who knows? Maybe we'll get that in overtime.
You never know.
It's going to be a heck of a ball game. I mean, you talk about matchups.
Mm-hmm.
And stylistically, both big up front,
yeah.
Both have all-state tailbacks,
yes.
Both have quarterbacks who make plays with their arm and their legs.
And as Chad pointed out, though, Graham is kind of a secret weapon. And in a couple of games that I've seen North MAC this year, you know, key moments in the game, Graham gets that first down, you know, just takes it right up the middle, and he's a guy and he does such a great job in the backfield of deceiving.
He's really kind of picking up what they've lost in the Kendall Bearden injury.
Yeah.
When Bearden went down, he's kind of picked up the slack.
Yeah.
And when you get in games like this, those little plays, like,
yes,
Chad said, second and three,
yeah,
third and three, those become very big plays, and probably whoever can get off the field more consistently on third,
yeah,
down is going to win this ball game.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. So,
2 o'clock this afternoon,
yeah,
in Verdon. We'll have live coverage 1:30 here on FM 106. We'll stream it all at WQSMIRadio.com. We need to get to a break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears to high school basketball. We got the Topper head coach and the Panther head coach, Joe Vanzo and Drew Logan, in studio. They're playing nice.
Yes.
Out in the green room, Terry.
Yes, that's right. Probably got a card game going.
Probably so. We'll talk Topper and Panther basketball when we come back following these messages.
9:29 on this Saturday morning. Now back to Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. And obviously, huge football game today in Macoupin County in the 3A state semifinal with Carthenville and North Mac, and we will get back into that in a few moments. But right now, we're going to switch gears, talk high school basketball. We got Joe Vanzo from Hillsboro, Drew Logan from Litchfield in our studios. And, fellas, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Coach Logan, you're going to miss practice.
Yes,
I'm
going to be a few minutes late.
You'll be doing laps.
And, guys, you guys enter this season really with different type of clubs. Joe, you lost no one. Drew, you lost basically everyone.
Yeah, we had six seniors last year that played. I think we figured out 95% of our minutes, scored about 95% of our points. So it kind of puts us in a unique situation that I really haven't been in since we've been in Litchfield. I've always had guys coming back that logged a lot of varsity minutes, and this year it's a different type of scenario. As you're preparing, you got 12 practices to prepare for the Metro tournament. And, we talk about, well, we did this last year. A lot of these guys don't remember what we did last year. So it's kind of different, and we're trying to be a little more vanilla than we've been in the past and just really focus on what we do and doing it the right way as opposed to trying to do a bunch of things. Last year I could kind of open the playbook a little bit more because of the experience. I had guys that have played for 3 and 4 years. So it's definitely been a different first 2 weeks.
And, Joe, on the topper side of things, how much are you able to build off of last year moving into this season?
A lot, and I think it's small school basketball in a nutshell. Everything goes in cycles. Yeah. You're going to have years right. where you've got everybody back, and, it's the same team from last year, and then there's going to be years like Drew just talked about where you lost everybody and you're essentially starting over.
I was so impressed in your regional game last year with Nashville. I mean, you guys gave Nashville all they wanted in that ball game.
Yeah, towards the end of the season, we kind of got things going. Our kids were comfortable. We were excited to play against a good program like Nashville, and our kids competed really well. And we kind of had to pick our poison a little bit. They had the big kid inside, and we were going to make somebody else beat us, and they beat us from the perimeter. And it was a strong game at the end of the year, and we're looking to build off that.
Joe, was it a case that the kids started believing in themselves more about halfway through the season last year, that they were confident that they could do what you expected them to do?
I think our kids are confident that they build off of it throughout the season because we started winning games. Mm-hmm. Early in the season, we kind of took our lumps. I think we started out 4-8 before Christmas. And then once we got into January, we started picking up some victories. So the kids never lost their confidence, but once it started turning into victories, they built off that and got more confident as the season went along.
Drew, as you look at your Litchfield team this year, what are some of the things that you will look for, not necessarily in games, but in practice from your kids?
Well, one thing we've talked about, we went back 3 or 4 years ago with Alex Hull, Colton Steele, talked about how competitive those practices were because a lot of the guys were on the same level playing field in practice. This year has been very similar to that. We don't have the guys that are so far ahead of others to where they don't get pushed in practice. So it's been kind of nice to have. We've had some very competitive practices. Our scrimmages that we've had the last couple days have been very competitive. And it's kind of nice to hopefully build on that as the year goes. And we've kind of talked about the, long-term goals, not really looking at so much right now, but really focusing on the end game in 2 years and really seeing where we can get, because we don't have any seniors out this year. So we're juniors and down. So it's kind of nice to be able to slowly build on things and be able to hopefully build on them next year.
Everybody wants to win games, of course. I mean, that's ultimately right. What the point of it. If you're going to put in the time and the blood and the sweat and the tears and all that, you want to win. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to high school athletics, especially small school high school athletics, there's a lot more to it than just winning basketball games.
Right, and we have a perfect example of it as our athletic director. I mean, Coach Rentz, I worked with him for a couple of years in football, and just watching how, he never really talked about winning. I mean, everybody knew that that's the end result that we want to get, but really the word winning never came out of his mouth. He was focused on developing kids. And we talk about that a lot, and sometimes high school kids confuse that as you not being competitive. And like I've talked to my kids, if you think I'm not competitive, you don't know me very well. Yeah. But that can't be the only thing you focus on, because then if you only focus on wins and losses and you don't get as many wins as you expect, what do you have to hang your hat on? So you've got to kind of, obviously that's what you want to do. You want to be competitive. You want to win. But like I've told my kids, I said, if you play hard and play as a group, I'm going to be pretty content. And be able to build off of those things.
And you know, and athletics is just a different classroom. We've talked about it many right. different times, and teaches a lot of different life lessons. And it's about you as a person improving yourself, because once you get out of high school, and you know, in college or vocational schooling, whatever, you know, you've got to get a job, and it's about you becoming a better person, a better employee, a better boss, whatever. And this is the sort of stuff that
right.
you teach.
Well, and me and Joe were just talking about it out there about, you know, a lot of our success this year is going to be dependent upon how we can meet the adversity that we're going to see. Cause we're going to see it. When we start off with Metro, we're going to see some adversity Monday night. Well, how do we handle it? Cause, you know, unfortunately, we see a lot of situations in society where when there's adversity, people don't really pick themselves up and handle it. And like I tell kids, I said, if the worst thing you can deal with is losing a high school basketball game, you're going to have a pretty good life. So, you know, it doesn't get easier as you get older. So, you know, that's something that we really strive to hopefully get across to kids. And if you don't get across to all of them, if you get across to two or three, then it's worth it. So,
Drew Logan, Litchfield head basketball coach, Joe Vanzo, Hillsborough head basketball coach, joining us here on Sports Saturday. And Joe, I remember a few years ago when you took over the program, you basically got thrown right into the fire with a D1 player that you had to deal with all the things that came with that. How do you think that helped you grow as a coach?
Well, first thing I want to say is Dylan Miller did not step into Hillsborough basketball as a D1 player. He developed himself and he worked and he went through the grind of getting to where he got. Our coaches, you know, built an avenue where he was able to succeed. But I learned a ton just from being around him and going through the recruiting process and dealing with his frustrations as a player, because it's very difficult. Every time that you play a game, for everyone in the stands to be disappointed when you don't have 30 points and 15 rebounds. So dealing with that was difficult, and Dylan really matured so much from his freshman year to his senior year, and I'm so proud every time I get on my phone and look at Twitter, or when I text Dylan in the middle of the week about, you know, what he's doing or where his team's at, or, you know, the battles that he's faced this week. And it was just a tremendous experience for me as a coach, and just to see Dylan grow up and the relationship that we developed together.
Yeah, the people, they show up on a Tuesday night or a Friday night to watch the game, but your kids and yourself, you're in the gym 7 days a week.
Absolutely. And man, it was so great to just see what Dylan did, and even the way that he handled his injury his senior year. You know, he had that month where he couldn't help the team win, and our team was built basically entirely around him offensively, and our kids had to battle without him, and he was a great teammate, sitting on the bench and watching the team and being a great, you know, cheerleader and rooting the team on. But just a super kid, and I'm extremely proud of him.
And I don't want to put words into your mouth or put any extra pressure on a young man, but it seems like Donovan Moore is poised to be the next great Hilltopper.
He's extremely skilled, extremely athletic, and he is where he is because of the work that he's put in. He is a complete gym rat. Anytime you open the gym, he's there. I got to kick him out of the gym when it's time to go home. He loves to play basketball. 12 months out of the year, he plays, and that is the reason he is where he is.
Yeah, and so I'm at the junior high level, and you know, you could say, boy, this kid's going to be something. you can't say that with every kid, but when you saw him at the junior high level, you just kind of knew that, wow, this is something special here.
We have a phrase that we tell our kids, kids on the wrong floor. So when we tell kids, you know, we put them in their roles, and we tell them, you know, who's going to play JV and who's not going to play JV at the beginning of the year, we tell our JV kids, hey, show us that you're on the wrong floor. Yeah. Well, when Donovan was in junior high, he was on the wrong floor. I mean, he stood out all the time. And last year, his freshman year, I mean, he had a tremendous year last year. And the great thing about Donovan, he's a super teammate. He loves being around the guys. He roots them on. He cheers for his teammates. He loves to win. He loves to compete. He's just a super kid.
And he's the kind of guy that can make everybody else better.
Absolutely. Yes, he can. Yes, he can.
Joe Vanzo of Hillsboro, Drew Logan of Litchfield joining us here on Sports Saturday. And, Drew, you're a basketball guy through and through. So once basketball season arrives, I would imagine you get quite happy.
Yeah, we're tackling a little bit different schedule this year as my wife took on and is helping Coach Corso as the JV coach. So we're juggling our kids around and trying to, but we've got a lot of support. People are helping us out. You know, and it is, it's, you start getting into that week six, week seven of football. And I know, okay, we're got to start ordering shoes. You got to start going through the process of doing, what you do year in and year out. And it's, you know, we had a proactive coaching speaker come a couple weeks ago, and one of the things he said, it's amazing how coaches can work all day long and then get in the gym and ramp up the energy. And that's one thing that I've noticed the last couple weeks, even though, you know, we're our practices are different, we're lacking the experience, but, man, I walk out of practice each day, and I've got a different level of energy. It you know, it's kind of nice to get back and get started, and you know, it's a grind. It's a long season, but I don't know what's better to do.
It's a long season, but when it's over, you're going, oh my God, it's over already.
Right. Yeah.
That's how I feel. Just, you know, just from the broadcasting standpoint, it's over.
Well, we were talking about, we got to send out invitational stuff here in a couple weeks. And it's like, that's January. And then you're halfway through your year. You know, it does. Once you get rolling, it does fly fast. So
Litchfield Invitational, one of the great in season tournaments there is.
Yeah.
What's the field looking like this year?
I mean, we were just talking out there, you know, and I fully expect Hillsboro to be one of the most competitive teams in it. And you got, like you said, you got CM, Mount Zion, Taylorville, who all have a ton of people back and play a very fast brand. Well, CM plays a little slower brand, but the other two play a really fast brand of basketball that can equal a lot of points and cause a lot of havoc. So, like we said, I think there'll be, you know, you get halfway through the year, you'll start seeing the clear-cut top guys and the clear-cut bottom guys, and then it's kind of filling out the middle section that gets really difficult. So,
yeah. Terry, we've seen that tournament springboard in Nakomis do some great postseason runs.
Yeah, there are markers throughout the basketball season, and that mid-season tournament, both the Macoupin County tournament that week, the Highland Girls tournament that week, the Litchfield Invitational tournament, that's a marker. That's a benchmark week for basketball to kind of tell us what we can expect down the final stretch of the regular season going into the postseason.
And Joe, I would imagine that's something that, as a staff, you kind of circle that week on your calendar.
A little bit. I'd say this every year, and you laugh and smile when you're looking at me talking, but I want to win every game. So I don't highlight, you know, one particular week, you know, a highlighter when we play Litchfield, like, hey, we really need to win this game. Hey, we play Flora next Saturday, and I really want to win. And I tell our kids, no matter who we're playing, it's the most important game of the year. But I do love the Litchfield Invitational. It's a great week. It's probably my favorite week of the season. So, but we want to win all our games.
That's a football mentality.
Yeah, week to week.
Absolutely. Yeah, week to week, one game at a time.
Yeah. Now, you've got a little more time because you were supposed to play Shelbyville on Monday, but the Rams still playing football, so that game has been postponed.
Yeah, we were supposed to kick it off with Shelbyville on Tuesday night. Shelbyville's football team is still in the playoffs, and they play today in the 2A semifinal, so we had to postpone our basketball game to Monday, December the 12th. Unfortunate situation for our kids. They're really excited to play. But at the same point, and Drew's already talked about this, it is so difficult in 2 weeks to have your kids ready to play that first game. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise. We get a few more days here to prepare, and we'll be ready to go on
Saturday.
Just
what the kids want, more practice.
So how much do you have to not put in the first 2 weeks of practice simply because you just don't have the time?
Yeah, I mean, you really, it's, and we were talking about 12 days. I mean, you got to put in press break, three-quarter court break. You know, you don't want to go out there and go, oh, man, I forgot to put in a side inbounds play. So you're trying to be a little more vanilla than you probably would be if you had 3 or 4 weeks to practice. But because you really don't know what you're going to see. You can kind of assume what, like I can assume what Metro is going to do on Monday, what they've done in the past. But you know, I know we change things year to year, so my expectation is other people do that also. So you find yourself trying to play catch up before Christmas. But for this group, I think it's going to be better for us to stay a little more vanilla, have less in, and just focus on how we're doing the things we're doing. So
it's tough. I think a lot of it depends on the kids that you have and the experience that you have. For instance, this year we can get away with putting in a little more because when you put something in, it's like, oh yes, I remember this, mm-hmm. and the kids are familiar with it. Whereas last year, and kind of like with the team that Drew has this year, you got to tone it back a little bit, and you know, put in fewer things and, you know, less for the kids to think about.
And we know one thing we've learned over the years with Litchfield and Hillsborough: throw the records out. When you guys play, the records do not matter one bit.
No, I remember back the first couple of years we were both coaching when we had DeLuca and Valentine going at it the first year. I'm sitting here, you know, and you hear about rivalries and how competitive the games are. Man, I'd walk away from those games just, I mean, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I'm watching Tim Osborne trying to guard DeLuca, and then I'm sure DeLuca was probably guarding Dale, and it was fun, and it was kind of a good tone setter for me as far as, and like you said, you play each year, and we've had a lot of years where we've, you know, our schedule typically is, you know, we can win some games early in our season, whereas I know their schedule, Hillsborough's schedule, is a little bit tougher early on. So in typical years, a lot of times they would have a lower record or have three or four wins, and it didn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. And it'd be that same situation maybe this year for us.
Absolutely. About 4 years ago, we had a 7-win basketball team, and I believe Drew just came off winning the Carlinville Holiday Tournament, mm-hmm. and we had one win at the time, and a few days after Christmas, we beat them. Mm-hmm. And this year, I mean, with how he's talking with his young team, it doesn't matter what either team's record is. We're going to beat them sometimes. They're going to beat us.
Yeah. Drew's kids don't know that they're not supposed to win. You know, they're just going to go out and play ball.
Right, and that's what we've talked about. I keep telling them, we don't have much experience, you know, but you still have to play. I mean, we're still going to go out there, and we're going to go against teams that – that have a lot of people back, and that in a lot of situations might mean, but for our kids, it's going to be a lot of new experiences for our kids. So it'll be, you know, next week will be kind of trial by fire for us as we get out there and play 4 or 5 games.
How good is it though to have a week where you have several games right off the bat?
It can be good and bad. I mean, it really can. I mean, you can, you know, it can snowball into something really, really good. And unfortunately it can go the other direction. I mean, we play 7 games. At least 7 games in the first 2 weeks of the season, between Metro, and then we turn around with Mount Olive, Staunton, and then we play Vandalia on Saturday. So, like I told our kids, we can find out a lot about ourselves, and then we'll have some time to digest it and figure out where we need to go from there.
Joe, I know you guys toughened up your schedule several years back, and that is something that, as the season moves along and you get into postseason play, does pay dividends.
It's tough. You kind of got to – me and Drew were talking about it out in the hallway before we came on. It's really difficult to get your schedule the way you want it. You've kind of got to look at what you got coming and plan about 2 or 3 years ahead to try to match your schedule with, you know, if you're going to have a rebuilding year or a year where, you know, you're going to be okay. And there's a lot of overlap in that. Like, I've had years where we went over to Carlisle and we had no business being over there. But you might have to, you know, endure that for a season in order to get your schedule the way that you want it. But as far as, you know, making your team better for that postseason run, we always tell our kids we want to get better every day. Every day you can either get better, you get worse, you never stay the same. So no matter what our record is, you know, going into February, if we get better each and every day, we're going to be playing our best basketball. We're going to have a shot in that last week in February.
All right. Topper head coach Joe Vanzo, Panther head coach Drew Logan, thanks so much for coming in this morning. I know you both got practice to get to. And, Drew, you're going to be a little late. I hope they don't make you run a line to line for every minute you're late.
It's going to be about 30. It's going to be a lot. So we'll see what the kids say when I walk in.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thanks for coming by.
We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment.
9:51 on this Saturday morning. Now time for Sports Saturday, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. And, of course, Carlinville North MAC coming up 2 o'clock kick this afternoon. 1:30 pregame here on FM 106. We'll stream it at WSMIRadio.com.
Had some girls basketball games last night. Mont Olive defeated Pawnee 84-47. Carrollton over Bunker Hill 50-34. At the Taylorville tournament, Hillsboro, the Lady Toppers beat Decatur Eisenhower 62-25. Other winners there, St. Anthony over Mount Zion, and Taylorville beat Jacksonville. At the Pena girls tournament, Pena beat Ocala Valley 45-29. Athens beat Central A&M 59-48. And Mattoon beat Williamsville 47-16.
So perhaps Central A&M's finally come back to earth a little
bit. Yeah, they come back to earth a little bit. I think so. You know, but that's all right. So, Jim Miller joining us on the phone right now. Big Jim, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Terry, doing fine. We're on a bus on the way to Notre Dame today.
Oh, they finally caught you, huh? They put you on a bus. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got a total between the bus and people driving up themselves. We've got about 50 people from Nokomis going up to see Bud Foster and Virginia Tech play at Notre Dame today.
Yeah, yeah. And ought to be a heck of a ball game.
Yeah, it should be. We're about a half hour out of South Bend. We're seeing a few snow showers up here, you know, just light snow and stuff. So windy and snowy, I guess that's football weather up
that's
here.
Right.
So
well, it's November, man, so, you know.
Jim, how much pride? How much pride does Nokomis take in Bud Foster?
Oh, yeah.
What?
How much pride does Nokomis take in Bud Foster?
Oh, I think there's about three people on here that don't have Virginia Tech stuff on. Everybody's got Virginia Tech stuff they're wearing and stuff. And Bud's, I saw where he, let everybody know he sent somebody something on Facebook about how he appreciated, he didn't know if he'll be able to see anybody because of the tight schedule after the game, but he really appreciated all the support he gets and everybody coming up here today.
Be careful up there in South Bend with that Virginia Tech gear on, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
stay in a group.
Yeah, I don't have any Virginia Tech stuff, but I am wearing maroon. So, and I know that I know John would be proud that our Salukis beat the Cougars last night pretty handily, I hear.
Oh, yeah, he was worried about that last night, so, yeah. Yeah,
so
they did beat the SIU Carbondale.
Anyway,
Edwards.
I haven't done this for a lot of years since I quit the NASCAR circuit, so I thought, well, today'd be a good time to call in and just talk a little football. I know you guys got a big game, I know, in Verdon today, too.
Yeah. So, Jim, it's good to hear from you, my friend. Enjoy the ball game and stay warm, okay?
I'll do that. I'll see you in basketball season, Terry.
You darn right, buddy. Jim Miller joining us on his way to Notre Dame.
Snowing.
Good place for those guys to be.
Better there than here.
Keep it away from me. My son and daughter-in-law and the grandkids sent pictures last night. Snow in
Iowa?
Iowa.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Don't bring it back.
Yeah, just don't bring it back.
You guys just keep it there. I'm not interested.
You can look, but don't touch.
Not interested.
We won't have snow in Verdon today, but we are going to have some wind.
Yes, we are going to have wind out of the north and northwest at about gusts up to 35 miles per hour, so is what they're predicting.
And the field there runs east to west.
Mm-hmm. So, man.
So we'll get
it is what it is.
A gusty crosswind.
Yeah, yeah. So.
But historically, though, North Mac and Carlinville are teams that they prefer to do most of their damage on the ground.
Sure, sure. And by the way, a couple of other matchups here, Tim, before time gets away from us in Class 1A. Calhoun is playing host to Decatur St. Teresa. Forreston is at Ottawa Marquette in the other semi. Shelbyville, as we mentioned when Joe Banzo was here, Shelbyville's at Morrill Forsyth in one semifinal in 2A. DMAC, Deer Creek Mackinac is at Kewanee Weathersfield. As we mentioned in 4A, Rochester is hosting Canton. In 6A, Sacred Heart Griffin's hosting Burbank St. Lawrence. And East St. Louis is at Lyle Bennett Academy this afternoon in 7A. So.
Central Illinois, extremely well represented here in the state football playoffs in the semifinal.
I don't know that we've had this many teams from, this close to us anyway.
You got Calhoun potentially in 1A.
Yeah.
Morrill Forsyth in 2A. Mm-hmm. Obviously Carlinville and or North Mac in 3A. Rochester in 4A.
Yeah.
SHG in 6A. And East St. Louis in 7A.
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
That's good representation.
That's great representation, yeah. Absolutely. So, and it's going to be cold no matter where you're playing today.
It's supposed to be that
it's,
way
it's
this
November,
time
and, you know, that's you want to play the day after Thanksgiving or the second day after Thanksgiving. That's the goal. So, and by the way, the winner of today's Carlinville-North Mac game will have a 4 o'clock game next Friday afternoon, a game we will have live with you.
Me?
You.
day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Carlos and I.
Memorial Stadium.
We'll go.
Say hi to Lovie Smith.
I will.
Although
yes.
he'll be out of town, yes, I guess.
He's going to be. He's going to be out of town. That's right.
He's going to be in Chicago.
Of course, that's why they rotate now from DeKalb to Champaign based on the mm-hmm. Illini schedule. And I think DeKalb is still in the playoffs this year. And of course, if they make it, they have to come down.
Yeah,
to Champaign.
Yeah, have to come down to Champaign this
going
year.
Going to Northern.
Who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk?
But what a day it's going to be
yeah.
in Verdun. I mean, it doesn't. Well, it cannot get any better in the football playoffs for one county than this.
No, and it really doesn't make any difference what the venue was today. I mean, there's just going to be thousands, literally thousands of people at the ball game. There's going to be, you know, tens of thousands of people tuned in on the radio and on the internet. And this is going to be a huge game for Central Illinois, and we're glad to be part of it. And good luck to both teams today. And, you know, it's great to know we're going to have a representative from Macoupin County in the state title.
Our friend Dave Kane dubbed this one of the wars on Route 4.
Yeah. Hey, there you go.
So.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And, of course, Carlinville, with their tradition and their history, sensational. North Mac, they've only been in existence
yeah.
for 7 years. And we knew when this yes. when this happened that this type of success was going to follow.
We were just wondering. We know they're going to be good, and they were good. But when was this level going to be attained? And it's been attained now. So it's we knew this was going to be a good thing.
Between North Mac, Verdun High School, and Girard High School, this is the furthest they have ever been in the playoffs.
Yep.
For football.
Yep.
So they've already exceeded any expectations I think anyone had. Well, maybe expectations is the wrong word. Exceeded any past experience.
We started with the road to Champaign however many weeks ago, and lo and behold, we're actually going to have a team who makes the trek.
You're
going
to be
road.
Making the trek to Champaign. That's right.
So they've earned it, too, because that 3A bracket was not easy.
That was a brutal bracket, wasn't it?
Loaded.
Good God, it was brutal.
Carlinville, North Mac. 2 o'clock kick, live coverage 1:30 today, right here on FM 106. We'll stream it all at WSMIRadio.com. Good luck to the Cavies. Good luck to the Panthers. Of course, thanks to Joe Vanzo and Drew Logan for coming in this morning on Sports Saturday. For David Jenkins and Terry Tote, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM. Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. What a day for Macoupin County.